I will sing again. I will sing again. You're beautiful. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. I will sing again. I will sing again. You are so good to me.
I'll start with that. My broken heart.
You are my Father in heaven. You are so good to me.
What happened to you are so good to me? Oh.
I said you are, and I realized, well, they all kind of start with you are.
Okay, so I was at the beginning of verse one.
Yes, okay. Verse one. Okay.
You are so good to me. You heal my broken heart. You are my Father in heaven. You are so good to me. You heal my broken heart. You are my Father in heaven. You're beautiful. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song.
The dancing rhythm goes dancing rhythm, if that helps.
Okay.
Okay.
You are my strong melody. You are my dancing rhythm. You are my perfect rhyme, and I want to sing forever. Blood, you died upon the cross. You are my Jesus who loves me.
Again,
you poured out all your blood. You died upon the cross. You are my Jesus who loves me.
You're beautiful.
You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. You are beautiful, my sweet. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. I will sing again. I will sing again.
Last ending.
You are my Father in heaven.
Thank you, Lord.
Okay, so when you poured out your blood and you died upon the cross, you are my Jesus who loves me. Times two, I say it, times two.
Yeah, that's in the little writing there.
And make sure I hold that E minor, eight counts.
Yes, for the, where is it? And I want to sing in the bridge.
Yep.
Forever, yeah.
Okay, fantastic.
Good job, good job. Great, you sounded good too when you sang, you sounded good. Okay. You ready for the next one?
I'm ready. Okay. This is a one pager too, right?
One.
Now that at the top, the F, C, A minor, and G.
Yeah, that's the intro line.
Okay.
Okay. It's a little faster than this last one was.
Okay, I'm gonna listen.
Are you familiar with it?
I think so.
Okay. Once you hear it.
We did it before, didn't we?
Yeah.
Did we do it before?
Yeah. Once you hear it, you'll know. It's a 1, 2, 3. Okay, I need to write that down because I was playing like it was whatever.
I'm following you.
Okay. All right, here we go. Let's try that intro again, okay? So many reasons, too many to count, to say that I love you, to worship you now. Your love is perfect, and your heart is kind. I'm yours forever. Thank you. Do we end on it there? No. Do we end on a C? What should we end on? What's a closing chord?
Okay, and we do that three times at the end, right?
Yeah. At the last line.
Yeah.
Closing chord is the C. All right, yeah.
That's cool.
Do so well. You just jump right in there.
We done.
Did it come familiar? Did it sound familiar after a while?
It did, yeah. That
little
Jesus the Anthem.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
We did that. You know,
yeah.
I remember, Mark, stop and listen.
yeah. When Randy was here, I think we all said, Randy's just going to play it. And we all stopped and Randy just played. But Randy not here.
Hopefully they're having fun wherever they're going.
I hope so, too. I think they were going up by, I don't know, Edesto, somewhere over in that area.
Oh.
I can't remember the name of it. She told me, but I can't remember. I'm just not real familiar with those islands.
Yeah.
Now, if it was Pismo Beach or Avila Beach or whatever, I know all those in California. Although I lived here, this is our 20th year in the South. I still don't know those islands. Okay, we ready?
I'm ready when you are.
Okay. I need to just suck on a cough drop for a minute.
I always use the fisherman's friend.
I need to suck on it.
How's that, baby?
Yeah. And then where's
the water bottle in mine?
Yeah, it's on the seat right there, Sam. I'm sorry.
The clock's ticking down. 1 minute. I'm just kidding. Corey and Christy and Charlotte and Gary.
Right, okay. Corey's the guy, Corey and Christy, okay.
That's what?
I know Gary, Gary and Charlotte, right?
Gary and Charlotte. And then their daughter's Christy.
Yeah, the other ones are Corey and...
Christy.
Yeah.
We got Christy, Christine, Christina, and Charlotte. All of them have a C.
Except for Christine.
Yeah, I'm from Philly. It's you guys. So, it's very easy. And Jeet yet? Yeah, 5 seconds already.
Yeah. I caught what you were saying then. I don't understand. I knew what you meant.
Yeah.
You taught me already.
It was funny. There was a thing that Sandy found on the. You know, on the phone, it was how to speak Philly, and it was done by Rocky.
Oh.
By Sylvester Stallone.
Oh.
That one, and did you ever see the Alexa for Elders? Oh, my goodness. Alexa, yeah. Alexa for the Elderly. It is funny. It is so unbelievably funny.
Is it, well, on YouTube or what?
I think, I don't, if I find it, I'll send it.
Okay.
She She's good.
Alexa, where's my phone? Your phone is in your right hand.
That's funny, yeah. our kids use that all the time.
I was gonna say, being a Vietnam vet, we don't allow Alexa in the house.
Yeah, you know.
But then it is on your TV and everything else. You don't know.
It's like I say anything.
On my phone or on my
I just talk about it, and there it is. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, so we're not only being heavenly watched, but we're being, you know, and now with this. This crazy AI. Now they got a robot that'll clean your house.
Don't worry about anything yourself.
Where do I go? That would be weird, huh?
Talking about Philly. Here he is.
I wouldn't want a robot. The Roomba is the closest to a robot I have.
Sandy's got a robot. Mark, cut the line. Okay.
He's so lifelike, too.
And he doesn't answer back anymore. Doesn't have his ear. Next song is Thank You, Jesus, for the Blood, Sand. Hey, bro.
I just want to apologize for the butt just because the golden butt is actually on the front of the
book. Thank you, Lem.
Okay. Are we ready?
Hey, you got it, bro. No problem.
If I go like this,
you should have seen me trying to do
that. I'm just not doing what is done, and this is not. So for me to see properly, I have to go like this.
Yeah.
So, you know what he is? He's
going to
be a pirate.
Arr, matey.
This is announcements for today.
I think all of us understand it. We've either been through it or we're going to go through it. Okay. Ready?
Yep, ready when you are.
Okay. Okay.
Now, you know the Bolton hasn't been, for years it's been gone.
And it's really big print.
Bolton News, the newspapers.
When I was working in the post office, I was driving a truck down there, and I had a friend who worked for the Bolton, they were on strike. And so I'm riding by, I'm a union guy in the postal truck. And I forgot, I directed at the person I made eye contact with. I know, I go, get back to work, right? And then I realized they were not happy with me.
Okay, we ready?
Let's see your songs in here.
You want to try these?
Okay.
The steps of a righteous man.
Okay. We'll just come in on the F, okay?
Okay.
I was a wretch. I remember who I was. I was blessed. I was blind. I was running out of time. Separated, the breach was far too wide. But from the far side of the chasm, take my place, lay beside my tomb of sin. You were buried for 3 days, but then you walk right out again. And now death has no sting, and life has no end. For I have been transformed by the blood of the Lamb. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied. Thank you, Jesus, it has washed me white. Thank you, Jesus, you have saved my life, brought me from the darkness into glorious light. There is nothing stronger than the wonder-working power of the blood, the blood. It calls us sons and daughters. We are ransomed by our Father through the start on with that no chord. See where it says no chord on Glory to His Name? I need a chord there because I don't ever know where to go.
down at the, yeah, on the
yeah,
end.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, right.
Why don't we just play it first and then we'll sing it, okay?
Okay.
Let's just play it first.
And that comes after the chorus, after the bridge. We do the bridge twice.
Mm-hmm.
Go back to the chorus.
Mm-hmm.
Do the chorus once.
Mm-hmm.
And then go to the ending, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's do the chorus and then go to the ending.
Okay. You, Jesus, for the blood applied. Thank you, Jesus, it has washed me white. Thank you, Jesus, you have saved my life, brought me from the darkness into glorious light, brought me from the darkness into glorious light. I guess we just stay on that note.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Alan. All I'm doing is...
Let's try it again.
Yeah.
Okay.
Bye.
Glory to his name. Why don't you lead that part?
What's that?
Can you lead that part? Or you can't, you don't do it. Okay. You did just really belt it out, okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
And Pastor Dan knows when you're going from an F to a B flat to an F to a B, F with a C, a D minor, a G seventh, and a C, all one per each word. one chord for each word. It's just like, whoa, wait a minute.
I know.
Yeah, well, it's got,
I can't, because I just can't go that fast.
Yeah, we got
it. I can't go. I mean, you can, but I can't. I'm skipping the B flat. Sometimes I'm playing it, sometimes I ain't.
We got it. Thank you that we're on his road.
Right.
Amen.
Oh, great. Good teaching.
And I think, you know, since it's been kind of a real busy week and stuff, I think it's good that today's a good week. And, you know, we've got a lot to cover this morning. I think it's good we just be through some.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Okay.
Okay, and you're so good. You are so good to me is the first one, and then Anthem, right? Yes. Okay, I got them in the right order.
Usually, you're the one messing everybody else up with the order.
I know.
Okay, we're going to have to do all this. remember it when I was at, when we got into the Whale Hall, they were having a bar mitzvah, right?
Wow.
And that was so cool.
Yeah.
When they had a bar mitzvah like that, I mean, it was really, it was, I'm glad I got to be the same.
So right at the Whale Hall?
At the Whale Hall, they came down there and they had the bar mitzvah, in fact, at the Whale Hall. So
right, sure, but right in the courtyard?
Yeah, in the courtyard, that's where they had it. In the courtyard, they had the bar mitzvah. They prayed, they put a man in, and the family, and everybody was dressed in their, you know, like the Jewish garb.
Uh-huh.
You know, you see, you know, the Jewish garb, so the guy had the shrouds.
I'm happy for her. She didn't want to go at first, you know, because she's going to be a lot. And a couple of the things that leaders who kind of come directly to the Lord. And so then they go to the churches there for Andy Stanley's church.
Okay.
And there's this one guy, Kyle, who's in a wheelchair. He's old, you know, and she helps that program. And when he found out that she was a heel, it's the way she was. And she said that they were doing some things, and, you know, so she was.
Well, maybe the New Jerusalem.
Maybe the New Jerusalem. No, I was hoping before then.
Well, I can guarantee you that you'll be part of the New Jerusalem.
Yeah.
I always said, the next time back, I think it'll probably be the New Jerusalem.
Yeah.
We went there in 87, I think. That's how I started counting.
87?
I went with Karen Chappell in my village.
Oh, really?
And I was in New Jerusalem.
Okay.
I met with Karen.
Yeah.
And someone I know, who used to go to church, and said, I said, yeah, what I'm doing. I said, I'm looking to go to this one. Blah, blah, blah. He said, well, how are you doing?
Yeah.
And I said, well, I'm doing it. He said, just call him up. And that's where I saw the rest of the
guy.
And he's teaching about that. And he's like, he's okay.
Yeah.
I get the teacher.
Oh, he was.
And like a month or two later, it was about his son.
Yeah.
And the rest is history.
And what he was, they grew up right down the street from my buddy, Jeff Cooper. Right on Under Street. Between Castor and, he lived on Sandy Street or Carter Street in Philly, right down the road from the 15th Precinct.
The couple who did the worship a lot, they were going to be in a local Philadelphia band. Who knows? And working a lot, they broke away from that and started worshiping, you know, singing for the Lord.
Yeah.
But I think the name was, they became successful, but they would have been brought up in all that. Heidi and Rob and Heidi were in the worship. And he kind of
Jimmy got involved in there.
I thought
he was in youth ministry, Mark. Youth ministry, yeah. But you remember, he was in the band of Jokers. I was in the place. Bobby was wheelchaired by that time. In the early times, he was in a wheelchair. And he was a phenomenal piano player. And had a great voice, too. We went to a funeral, and I remember there was a line. You know, the part.
Good morning, Calvary Chapel, the country. It's great to see everyone. Glad everybody decided to join us today to come in the presence, enter in the presence of the Lord and worship Him in both spirit and truth. Just want to go through a few announcements, what's going on in Calvary Chapel, the country this coming week. So first things first, what do we have here? Calvary Chapel, the country, anything else we got going up there? Okay. Anyway, we meet on Sundays and Wednesday evenings, and every Wednesday evening we meet. We're presently in 2 Chronicles. Pastor Dan is teaching that. And I encourage you to come out and be a part of that. We have prayer before every service, Sunday morning and Wednesday evening. 10 o'clock, we meet in the room in the back. And on Wednesday evening, 6:30, here in the prayer room. And if you have any questions, see please Sandy or Mark, and they would love to have you join them. And all you do is knock on the door and just come in and just enter into the presence of the Lord and just lift up the needs of this church and this nation in prayer. So I encourage you to come be a part of that. Wednesday weekly prayer meetings every Thursday evening. That's Barry heads that up. There's a prayer meeting here at 6 o'clock every Thursday. If you have any questions, please see Barry. Men's prayer breakfast. It's coming this coming Saturday, men, and we meet. It's faith, food, and fellowship. And this coming week, we have everything taken care of, so there's no need to bring anything. We'll have everything supplied for you. What we want is you to show up and just be part of what is going on. And in that meeting, someone shares their testimony or how they arrived here to walk with the Lord. So it's a great encouragement, not only for everybody that's there, but for whoever's giving that testimony. It just encourages the body and the local men here in the church. So I encourage you to come out and be a part of that. You know, if any questions, I'm sorry, please see me or Randy, and I'll be more than happy to help you. Thanksgiving dinner, it's coming. It's in 3 weeks, I believe it is. And November 23rd, it's going to be following our service. There's a sign-up sheet begins today for your Thanksgiving Sunday dinner, which will take place immediately, like I said, after the service later this month, November 23rd. Please let us know your intentions regarding what you would bring. There's a great sign-up sheet there. You want to bring a turkey, you want to bring a ham, you want to bring stuffing, everything is included in the normal Thanksgiving dinner. So please, and if you want to bring a turkey or a ham, that's something that's made and you bring it here and have it all sliced up ready for us to go. Because I know one thing, looking at this group, we're a hungry group. We love food, okay? We do. So again, please be a part of that. Today is a communion Sunday. We'll have a communion at the end of the service. And tithes and offerings. There's offering boxes here in the back of the sanctuary, two of them, and one on the other side of the doors. So as the Lord leads you, please respond to the tugging of the Lord to give back to what he's already given us. So why don't we go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your presence that's here today, Lord. Continuously to move through this room, touch hearts and change lives, Lord. I pray for anybody in this room or people who are listening that today will be the day of salvation and they will hear the tugging of the Holy Spirit on their heart and respond to that. Lord, we lift up the worship team, Lord, and just be with them as they help enter us into the presence of you, Lord Jesus, that you will be glorified and exalted. So, Lord, we lift up these tithes and offerings, Lord, and we pray that we use it for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Hello, good morning. Let's all stand, shall we, as we worship. And during that time, if you need to sit down, please feel free. However you are comfortable, just worship the Lord. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your love. We thank you, Lord, that you are here with us in such a beautiful way, Lord, this morning. And we thank you, God. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. I will sing again. I will sing again. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. I will sing again. I will sing again. You are so good to me. You heal my broken heart. You are my Father in heaven. You are so good to me. You heal my broken heart. You are my Father in heaven. And you are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. I will sing again. I will sing again. Ride on the clouds. You ride upon the clouds. You lead me to the truth. You are the spirit inside me. You ride upon the clouds. You lead me to the truth. You are the spirit inside me. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. I will sing again. I will sing again. My strong melody. Strong melody.
By all you are, oh how I love you, Jesus.
welcome me in. Now all that I long for and all that I need is to be in your presence forever. I fall at your feet, Jesus, the anthem of my heart.
For I have been transformed,
by the blood of the Lamb. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied. Thank you, Jesus, it has washed me white. Thank you, Jesus, you have saved my life, brought me from the darkness into glorious light. There's nothing stronger. There is nothing stronger than the wonder-working power of the blood. The blood that calls us sons and daughters. We are ransomed by our Father through the blood. The blood. There is nothing stronger than the wonder-working power of the blood. The blood that calls us sons and daughters. We are ransomed by our Father through the blood. The blood. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied. Thank you, Jesus, it has washed me white. Thank you, Jesus, you have saved my life, brought me from the darkness into glorious light. Brought me from the darkness into glorious light. Applying that blood to us, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We love you. We can never thank you enough for the cross, for the blood, for rising from the dead. We will live forever because of those beautiful things you did for us, Lord. And we thank you for it. All those who say Jesus is Lord and mean it with all their hearts will be with you forever. We thank you, Father God, for that. In Jesus' name, say hi to somebody next to you.
Good morning, everyone. Good to see everybody this morning. Wow, we had such a great night the other night. It was such a, I shared how it was back when Susie and I were young kids, and we were at this place back in Santa Maria, and wonderful guy. He's home with the Lord now, but Pastor Tom Ferguson was leading the youth group, and we were, believe it or not, I was there, you know. I was one of them. And we had just a time of worship and just letting the Lord be the Lord. Let the Lord be the one who opens up the door of ministry. And it was, I just felt like I had gone back in time. I was sitting back at the bakery. This is back when my hair was about down to here. And I had a beard, you know, and all like this. And then I met Susie and I got shaved. So. And then we, it wasn't that bad. I was just an old surfer, and so I a lot of times that's the way we looked. But anyway, the other night, it was just like it was just that movement of the Lord and the Holy Spirit, and I just was going, wow, thank you, Lord. Thank you for such a touch, to feel His presence, to sense His presence. There's nothing like it. You know, He says, my presence goes with you. And in that presence, He gives us rest. And He gives us a rest. And that was such a wonderful evening the other night. So surfers have a saying, if you weren't there when it was breaking good, you should have been here yesterday. And I can say that. You should have been here yesterday if you missed it, because it was really good. Anyway, this morning we're continuing on in our study in the book of Revelation. Will be in chapter 21. In chapter 21 it's just a breath of fresh air. It begins this time. We've already been through some rough stuff, you know. I mean, it's been tribulation after tribulation, judgment after judgment, bowls and trumpets and so on all the way through. And so we've been through some, and this is what's going to happen. But this chapter is all about good things. I love that. I'm like, thank you, Lord. I'm good for good things. And it's going to be how God is going to make all things new. No remodels, no refixes, no readjustments. Brand new. New stuff. Eye hath not seen nor ear heard nor entered the hearts of men the things that He has in store for those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. We can't even know how good this is going to be. There's been artist renditions of different videos and things. And in your bulletin, if you're computer savvy, there's a down at the bottom in the front page, there is a link on YouTube about the New Jerusalem and the angel who comes and measures the New Jerusalem. So we found out on that last video that I shared, I didn't realize that I had infringed upon copyright. So I apologize to everybody here, because I didn't know, but it was just such a glorious video. We enjoyed it. You know, it was about the Bible in 90 seconds and stuff. So I learned a lesson. Okay, I can copy the link, and then now you guys can go home, and because you can share the link. So there's the Jews, when they would speak of the law, they would say, you know, if you want to get around the law, just go to a rabbi. Well, church, if you want to get around it, just come and ask the pastor, and he'll help you get around it. Anyway, let's pray. God, we love You. We thank You for this morning. We thank You for the refreshing of the day and the moment and here and now. Lord, we ask that You would pour out Your Spirit upon us, Lord. I pray that You would take this word as You promise, and that it will not come back void from where You have sent it. Lord, that those who have the ears to hear will hear, and that they will obey, and that they will keep the words that are in this book as You gave to us, and that You promise a blessing for those who do. So, Lord, we ask Your touch on us now, Lord, both in the speaking but also in the hearing, in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1 says, now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no more sea. You know, when I first heard that, and I'm an old surfer. I love the ocean. I love being in the water. When I said, like, oh, man, wait a minute. It's supposed to be joyous. It's supposed to be good. You know, and there's no more sea, no more waves. And God says, well, wait a minute. You know, you got to see. So I gave the Lord His place, and I'm going to teach on that, okay? new heaven, new earth, new no seas, everything's passed away. But did you know that there's a teaching out there that says that God is not going to do new, but he's going to refurbish the earth, you know? But that's not what the Bible says. Here's what Isaiah, David, and Peter say. Isaiah 65, verse 17. For behold, I create new heavens and new earth, and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered or come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I create, for behold, I create Jerusalem as a rejoicing and her joy and her people a joy. So we're going to talk about the three important things of these verses. There's three important things that we need to look at. And so Psalms 102, verse 25 says, of old you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will endure. Yes, they will grow old like a garment, like a cloak. You will change them, and they will be changed. Things are changing. Things are going to be different. And then Peter gives us a little more insight to all of this. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10 through 13 says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, now that's an important word, dissolved. You put something like salt in a glass and you stir it around, it dissipates, it's gone. Will be dissolved. What manner of persons ought we to be, or you to be, in a holy conduct and godliness? So this is challenging us. When we see these things about to happen, what kind of people should we be? We got to be people of light. We got to be people that are looking forward to the soon coming of our great God and Savior, Jesus. So, and he says, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved. Again, the word dissolved. Being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. With you, with have any atomic science in your background, this should start sounding very interesting and very familiar. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. So we're looking for a new heaven, a new earth where righteousness dwells. Three important points. What's going to be changed? Who's going to be doing the changing? And how are they going to be changed? Okay? In Isaiah chapter 65 there in verse 17, the word created is the same word that's used in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created. The word created there is bara. It means to bring something out of nothing. This current world and heaven are going to be done away with. They're going to be gone. And then something totally new, totally fresh, is going to take its place. When you wear out your clothes or you wear out something, what do you usually do? Well, you get rid of it. You get rid of it, you throw it away or whatever. And what do? You go out and you get something new. Well, that's something that we all do, and it's very familiar with our life. And then in Psalm 102, that's what this is all about. God's going to be the one doing the creative changing. He's going to bring something out of nothing, something that has never existed before. Like a cloak, he says, you will change them and they will be changed. So the next question is how they're changed. And this is where it gets interesting. Peter tells us that the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the heavens and the earth are going to be burned up. They're going to be gone. Well, what could do that? Well, interesting enough, in their atomic research, Albert Einstein and Robert Oppenheimer proved that all things exist that exist are made up of atoms. Everything, the chairs you're sitting in, even us. And at the center of an atom is a nucleus. In this nucleus, they're made up of protons and neutrons, which science has proven their nature is to repel against each other. They're not, it's not normal. They repel against each other, and for some reason, they don't. Then there's another scientific law. It's called Coulomb's Law of Electricity. It states that like particles, and I mean, in other words, these particles in their essence of who what they are, they have a positive, they have a negative. Those particles in there, their natural source or nature is to repel against each other. So, nuclear scientists have determined that the force that it takes to hold an atom together is greater than the power that's released. We see the power that's released when an atom is split. When you bombard that nucleus with an atom with slow-moving neutrons, what happens is you have an atomic fusion, which ends up being what? An explosion, a massive explosion. My question is, if after all they've discovered all this, what's holding the atom together? Since it's naturally wanting to repel against each other. Why? Science doesn't really know. So they come up with this theory, and they call it atomic glue. Oh, yeah? Well, where'd you get that? Well, you know, we really don't know, but something's holding it together. I'm going to tell you what, believers, we know what's holding it together. Colossians 1:16 and 17, for by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist. Interesting word, consist. Consist means holds together. Everything that there is, everything is held by the word of his power. When he says, hold together, it holds together. The whole universe, the whole world, all the things that are in it, they're being held together because of the power of his word. His word holds it together. In verse 1, it doesn't really tell us why there's no more sea. It just said that there's no more sea, but it gives us a hint. The text gives us a hint. The old has been replaced with the new. So something else is going to be there. I don't know what it is. But what it's going to be is it's going to be something better than what I'm used to. Say, for instance, I've surfed Hawaii. I've surfed Peru. I've surfed all over the place. Good waves. Can you imagine if you're a surfer? Or maybe you're a horse rider. I don't know. Whatever. I think of some of the biggest waves that I've surfed and stuff, and I think, wow. And the Lord says, well, what about a comet? Would you like to ride a comet? Oh, that would be good. So I can't even imagine what it's going to be like. We can't imagine what it's going to be like. The closest thing that we can come to it is when we're born again. And Paul said to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 5:17, he says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That's where we struggle with, is because our past many times is the enemy likes to throw our past in front of us. But the Lord says, behold, all things have become new. It's something that you were never before. When you were before you were saved, were you like who you are now? No. And now who you are is different from who you were. But who you were wants to come back to where you are. And it interferes with you. That's why Paul said that, old wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death. I don't want to be this way. But the new man says, you're not. You're new. You've been created. You have a new heart. You have a new mind. You have a new thought. You have a new spirit. All things are new. Not just part of you. The only thing that's left for you to be redone or to have new is your body. And we're crying out for the redemption of the body. I'm saying, yes, Lord, come quickly. This one's wearing out. I've got rods in my back now. I've got fake knees. I've got whatever you call it. I'm the bionic man. But in this, the old covenant was replaced with a new covenant. The old covenant was written in a stone. The new covenant's been written in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And we celebrate that in communion, and we'll celebrate that today when we take communion together. So it's been replaced. The heavens are going to be replaced. New earth, new everything, brand new. And Jerusalem. That's amazing. Verse 2 says, "Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. His God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away.' And he who sat on the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new.' And he said to me, 'Write, for the words are true and faithful.' And he said to me, 'It is done.'" Now, does that sound familiar? We remember someone said that from a very important place, didn't we? It is finished. It's the same thing. It's done. "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. And he who overcomes," and this is a very important part. A lot of times people think about overcoming is by your efforts and what you do. This is it. You overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. You overcome because of faith in what he is doing and has done. You overcome because you don't rely upon yourself, you rely upon him. That's how we overcome. We overcome all things because of him. He is the source of our strength. He is the source of our life. He is the source of victory. "And he who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." So everything we see today is going to be replaced. It's going to be gone. Something totally new in its place. Even Jerusalem. Jerusalem. Jerusalem has been called the city of peace, but the name actually means teaching peace. The city that is teaching peace. Well, Jerusalem has failed at teaching peace. It has not been a city that has been at peace. It has not been a peace to the world. The Jews were to be an example, be a light to the Gentiles, to be to us. And they have failed. They failed about it, even amongst themselves. They failed about it with the world. They failed about it in everywhere. The Jerusalem that is there now is going to be gone. It's going to be taken away. It's going to be replaced with the real Jerusalem. The Jerusalem that comes down out of heaven. And we, like those in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 10, we're like them, that we're looking for this city whose builder and maker is God. I'm not looking to the old Jerusalem. I'm looking to the new Jerusalem. I'm looking to the new place. I'm looking for that new one. Say you had a house, and you had a choice between this house that was termite infested and a brand new one. Which one would you pick? Well, that's a no-brainer. We'd pick the new one, the fresh new one. Well, that's what this is. We get God. We don't get an imitation. We don't get a replacement. We get God himself. And so then John heard a loud voice, and it says that he said, "The tabernacle of God is with men." And the word tabernacle means basically the dwelling place. In Exodus chapter 25, the tabernacle is where God promised to meet with them, that he would fellowship with them. He would speak with them between the cherubim. In other words, it's talking about relationship and intimacy with God, closeness with God. Now, I believe when we see the Lord, we're going to be moved by his glory and his grace. Because that just says to us, when we see Jesus, He's going to look at us and say, it's okay. I've made everything all new. It's okay. The past is gone. The worst is over. You know, sometimes we look at this world and we think, how long? How long, O Lord? We hear that even in Scripture. How long, O Lord? But here he's saying, don't worry. Everything's coming about. It's coming just as I planned. Just the sight of him. Now, we see when we see Jesus, it's just going to overwhelm us. Because when we look at him, we're going to see him as he is. And as we see him, the sight of the knowledge and the grace that is it took to get us there. Do you know that you're going to see the nail-scarred hands, the nail-scarred feet, the wound in his side? We're brand new. We're changed. We have a whole new body. Jesus has the same one. He's going to be the only one in heaven that has scars forever. And when we look at him, it's going to be a reminder of what he did for us. The magnificence of his salvation. And so basically, the past is gone, the worst is over, and we're just basking in love and worship of him as we sit there. Now, in this new creation, everything that could have caused us or could cause us hurt or pain or death is going to be gone. It's going to be swallowed up in the victory of God's lordship and reign. And so John, he says, he hears these words. He says, write them down. These word for these words are faithful and true. He says, write them down. So as John is there and God's wiping away the tears, the Lord says to him, it's finished, it's done. I am the Alpha and the Omega. And Alpha and Omega are the letters, the Greek letters of the beginning and the ending letters of the Greek alphabet. In other words, it starts with me, it ends with me, and I fill in all the space in between. Ephesians 1:10 says that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. It's all going to come around it. It's all going to just pigeonhole right down to Jesus. It's all going to be about him. In John 7, the gospel, Jesus gave an invitation. He said, if anyone thirsts, to come to him and drink. Well, like that invitation, this invitation in verse 6 promises that if you thirst for the Lord, you will be satisfied. Also in that verse, in those both invitations, Jesus is the source. We have no source of life. He is the source of life. John 16:7 says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. We need help, he's saying. I need help in this life. I need help to walk like him. I can't walk like him. You can't walk like him. Every time we do, we fail. Every time we try to live a righteous life like Jesus. I know this, when I first got saved, I looked at the Bible and I'm going, goodness sake, there is so much in there. Where is the checklist? I thought there was a checklist. Because I was one of these guys that I get a list and I go through it and I check them off. And I'm going, okay, well, show me the checklist. Well, there wasn't any checklist. Somebody told me the whole Bible is the checklist. And what you do is you go through it. You slowly look and see. See, I thought it was by works. I thought I had to, you know, do this and do that and do this. And I became like a robot. And then finally I said, I can't do it. And that was the best place I could be. That's the best place I could be, because I realized in me dwelled no good thing. I didn't even have to read it. I knew. Every time I tried to do something good or right, I messed up. And I needed help. And that's when the Lord said, okay, now you're done. Come to me. Cast all your cares upon me, for I care for you. For my yoke is easy, my burden's light. And so learn of me. And I began to learn. I'm not to carry the burden. He's already carried the burden. I can't make myself right. I can't even walk like him unless he helps me. And what he does is he sends me the Holy Spirit. And when I found out that I have a helper, that will empower me to be able to do what Jesus did and talk like Jesus did and speak like Jesus did, I said, I'm all for that. I'm all in. And so that's when the Lord just began to fill me overflowing and showing me I'm a leaky vessel. I leak like crazy. And I need to be refilled constantly. I need to be refilled every day. And we all do. I do. But also he said in John 7, verse 37, he said to us, and he spoke of that out of our innermost being will flow these rivers of living water. That's really interesting because I remember, I don't know if it was Greg Laurie or one of those guys, he got mixed up in what his wording. He said, and out of your innermost being will flow livers of living water. What? No, not livers. It's rivers of living water. But God, then he promises that those who overcome, that they will inherit all things. Well, what is that? What does that consist of? Well, he said the same thing back in chapter 2 and in chapter 3. There was a special promise to the churches who overcame. I know this, without him, I can't overcome. Without resting in him, without ceasing from my labors and entering into his rest, I can't overcome. I will not overcome because I'm relying upon me. But the promise is that we will be his sons and daughters, not only his bride, but we will have even a deeper relationship with him. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 2 and 3, beloved, now we are the children of God, and has not yet been revealed what we shall be. Now that's taking us off to where we are right now, sons and daughters. Hasn't been revealed what we will be. We'll be changed. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So what's he like? What's Jesus like? What's his body like? You know, when we see him, we'll be like him. What? Have you ever walked through a wall? No. Have you ever ascended? No. Have you ever gone from one place to the other in an instant, in a moment? No. We shall be like him. Wow. That changes our perspective. Hey, let's all go to Maui this afternoon for some lunch, you know? Nah, I'd rather go down to Baja and go have tacos, you know, whatever. We'll be like him. We'll be able to go and be wherever we want in the moment, in a twinkling of an eye, we can do it. In John chapter 1, verse 12, but as many as receive him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. So we get a little more insight in here. We're going to be what has been revealed, what we're going to be. We're going to be his children. We're not only going to be his children, but we're going to be his bride. To those who believe in his name. And then in Romans chapter 8, he says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Okay, we'll stop right there. Ask yourself, are you a child of God? Does the Holy Spirit say, yes, you're mine? Does he bear witness to you? That's what he's saying here. His Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Just stop a moment. Lord, am I yours? Oh, you're my child. Yes, we hear him bearing witness that we're his kids. We belong to him. And if children, then heirs and heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, have you suffered for the Lord for his sake and for what he's called you to do? If you're not, then I don't know. I question. Everyone who lives godly in Christ Jesus will, sorry to say, suffer. It's one of those things that we don't want to hear, but it's there. It's who we are. It's what he did, and we walk with him. That we may be also on the other side of that coin, be glorified with him. So as we walk with him, it's not going to be primrose and pansies, folks. That's what I thought when I first got saved. Wow, this is so good. I felt so good. Everything's so wonderful. And, you know, and then pretty soon, whoa, what was that? Whoa, what was that? Well, I mean, I thought this was supposed to be good and fun and everything. Yeah, you're learning, you know. Then I started reading these scriptures that, oh, you know, sometimes it just doesn't feel good. But praise God, one day that we may also be glorified together. Changing in a moment. But notice in verse 8 the comparison of those who make it, those who endure, those who overcome, compared to those who don't. Those who overcome, they'll inherit. They'll inherit. But those who don't, notice what happens. They end up in the lake of fire. Also, notice that there's a steady downward progression. Begins off with kind of a light fall, I guess you would say. Cowardly means fearful or timid. And so the cowardly, unbelieving, the coward, but the cowardly and the timid. You know, you can be fearful. Have any of you been fearful? I've been fearful. Have you been afraid to do something, being timid about doing something? Yeah. I don't think there's a person in this room that hasn't been timid or afraid of something. But it's what we do with it. It's what do you do about it? Do you just stay there and live in that place of fear? Oh, no. What are they going to do? What are they going to say? Ooh. I've seen some pretty timid people do some extraordinary, bold, and brave things. And if I've seen guys that were these just monsters of guys that would shirk away and run away from it. But it all comes down to two things that are on this list, believing and unbelieving. Hebrews chapter 4, 3 and 4 speaks of unbelief and that those who fail to enter in believing will not enter into his rest. Believing is everything. But not believing is what brings us to the other side of the coin. If you put your hope and trust in Jesus Christ, we gain great benefits by putting our hope and trust in him. Philippians 4:13, for example. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. For the timid, Christ is their courage. Lord, help me. Peter, walking on the water. He's going down. Do you think he was a little timid? You think he was a little fearful? He's going down. And he's sitting there going, oh, Lord, help. That's a good example of somebody that's in the middle of it and crying out. He is their strength. He was his strength. But for those who don't believe, this is the other side of the coin that Jesus said in John 8:24. Therefore, I said to you that you will die in your sins if you do not believe that I am he. You will die in your sins. Believing is an action. It's a verb. It means you're doing something about what you believe. I believe in him. What does that do? Go back to Peter again. Believing is getting out of the boat and walking on what substance doesn't seem like substance. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Stepping out of the boat. Believing is stepping out of the boat. I think that there's too many Christians that are still in the boat. That they're afraid to step out. They're afraid to do something. They're afraid to put action to their what they believe. And John says this in John 3:36, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life. And he who does not believe in the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. He is the source. The Holy Spirit is the source of how we overcome. I can't do this. Well, apart from me, what Jesus said, you can do nothing. I can do all things through him, but without him, I'm in the boat. I can't get out of the boat. I had a dream the other night. It just hit me so hard. I mean, you talk about fear. I was in this situation, and it was just a spiritual attack. I couldn't move. I could not move. And I was going, I've never had that happen to me in real life. But in a dream, it did. And so I kind of think about that. You know that? It can freeze you up. It can lock you up. And I was locked up. And I know this is that with him, I can break through that. In this, while I'm awake, that was a dream. And I look at things sometimes and I'm thinking, you know what? In the last days, young men will dream dreams. I'm not a young man anymore. The old men will see visions. I can see things. I see things more now than I... You're older. Do you see things? Do you see them more clearly? You see the reality of the truth of Word of God coming in front of you, being played out as you're looking at these things. When you see the beginning of these things, look up, for your redemption draws nigh. When you see these spiritual things taking place around you, around the world, look up. He who has ears to hear and eyes to see, they're going to hear and they're going to see. And so I'm praying, God, give us those ears, give us those eyes to see what you want us to see. Then this next word here in verse 8 is abominable, not the snowman, but simply it means foul or stench. This is talking about those who have rejected Christ. This foul stench, that have followed the stench of the world. They're going after the world. They're living after the world. They're living after the flesh. They're carnal. For example, murderers, he says. The sexually immoral. The sexual immoral there in the Greek is porneos. And it means to prostitute yourself to another's lust. We get our word pornography from it. And so this is the sexual immorality that he's speaking of here. And then there's sorcerers. Now, this isn't the guys who are conjuring stuff, but it also applies to them. But in the Greek, the word is pharmakeios. Pharmakeios. What do you hear in there? Pharmacy. So we're talking about drugs. Drugs are a big part of the occult. And they're used in the occult. And so this is saying, okay, sorcerers, oh, no wonder they're opening up a door into the demonic realm. Idolaters. Now, idolaters is interesting because those who practice idolatry in those days, why did they go to the idols? What did they do? What were they looking for? They were looking for help. They were looking for someone who would help them in their problems. I want to be rich. So you go to this idol and you offer up a sacrifice for this. You want to have thrills, chills, and spills. You go to Molech and you offer up your baby. And you'll have abundance of it. You want to have greatness and power. You go to Baal. You see what's happening here? Have they changed? Oh, no. You want to get rich? Oh, yeah, go there. That's all you... They just spun a different name on it. You want to have thrills, chills, and spills? Just go to the internet. You'll find it there. You just keep going and opening up these doors. These are the things that will enter in for today in idol worship, idolatry. And finally, there's liars. Probably... I mean, at the bottom here, it's like the bottom of hell. Liars. The bottom of hell has been said that it's layered with liars. Layered with liars. Because who is the first liar? Satan. He is the first liar. So it's pretty self-explanatory. A liar is someone who depends upon the lie rather than the truth. You ever heard the saying, they'd rather lie than tell the truth? You know, well, sometimes little kids are like that. I thought that about my kids. They'd rather lie than tell the truth. But, you know, I'd say, well, I know the truth. Well, Dad, you're right. You know. But the point of all of these... the cowardly, the ones who don't overcome, the unbelieving, the immoral, the abominable, the sexual immoral, the sorcerers, idolaters, and all the such. The thing is that if you don't turn, you're going to burn. This is the second death. That's where he finishes that sentence there. Now, remember when Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also? Remember that? The New Jerusalem is the dwelling place. The New Jerusalem. I mean, being with him is plenty enough. But this new place, this new home, this new mansion is beyond anything that we could ever think or imagine. It's a dwelling place for his bride. And in it, there are many mansions. Then one, in verse 9, of the seven angels who had the seven bowls filled with the seven last plagues came to me, talked with me, saying, "Come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife." So if you ever wanted to know who we are, it's explained right there in verse 9. We're his wife. We belong to him. We are joined to him. We are joint heirs to him. Whenever you marry somebody, they're joint heirs to whatever you are and whatever you have. That's what we have with Jesus. And he carried me away into the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. Having the glory of God, her light was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Also, she had a great and high wall with 12 gates, 12 angels at the gates, their names on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. 3 gates on the east, 3 gates on the north, 3 gates on the south, and 3 gates on the west. Now the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he who talked with me had a gold reed to measure the city, its gates, and its wall. The city is laid out as a square, its length as a length, as its breadth, and its measure. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. Its length, breadth, and height are equal. This is interesting stuff here. As John's taken away in the Spirit, he's shown this new Jerusalem descending out of heaven. And its light was like the light of a clear jasper stone. A jasper stone is basically looks like a diamond. And you ever seen, you know, women when they get married and they want to, all the other ladies want to see the ring, and they bring out the ring and they do this, and then that diamond goes, you know, it's just pure and sparkling. This will give you an idea. This clear and this it's glorious. It's going to be sparkling. And so as this Jerusalem, as it got closer, John began to see the magnitude of its size. Its walls were massive. In the walls there were 12 gates, names of the 12 tribes, and on the wall were 12 foundations with the names of the 12 apostles. Now, I got to say, we owe a lot to the Jewish people, but the foundation of our faith is founded, and theirs, is founded upon the message of grace. It's grace. You know the definition of grace. You don't get what you deserve. We deserve hell, but we're getting heaven. That's grace. And so on all of these, we have a great appreciation, but the message was founded and committed to the 12 apostles to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And now that's been given to us, but it was initiated in them as the foundations. Now, if you were here when we went through chapter 14, verse 20 in Revelation, remember that a furlong, the length of a furlong, remember what it was? No, I doubt. Is equal to about 0.125 miles. So it's just a little less than a quarter of a mile. So what we have to do a little math here. If you multiply 12,000 times that figure, 0.125, we come up with 15,000 miles. Or not 15,000, 1,500 miles. Okay? So the city is a cube. Check this out. It's going to be, New Jerusalem is going to be 1,500 miles high, 1,500 miles long, 1,500 miles wide. That's 15 times 15 times 3 equals, check this out, 3,375,000,000 cubic miles. That's a lot of territory. Get a better perspective. I found something from J. Vernon McGee. You all know J. Vernon McGee. And J. Vernon McGee says, cubes and pyramids are appropriate for Earth's buildings, but they are impractical for space as spheres are impractical for earthly buildings. Yet it is definitely stated that the city is four square, not the church. Nobody chuckles on that. You know what the four square church is, right? Okay, all right, going on. The difficulty resolves when we think of the city as a cube within a crystal clear sphere. What we are given are the inside measurements. I think of it as a big plastic ball with a cube inside, having all eight of its corners touching the sphere. As this involves mathematics, which I could not figure out, I asked both a mathematician and an engineer involved in the space program to determine what the circumference of the sphere would be. They both came up with the same answer. To enclose a cube measuring 1,500 miles on each side, the circumference of the sphere would be around 8,164 miles. The diameter of the moon is 2,160 miles, and that of the New Jerusalem sphere is about 2,600 miles. Thus, the New Jerusalem will be somewhat larger than the moon, and it will be a sphere like the other heavenly bodies. I have a picture here of that's so comparative. That's what he's talking about. So we're seeing something pretty. We know that the from one side of the coast to the other side of the coast is around 3,000 miles, something like that. Anyway, this gives us an idea. Now, this is a sphere, but inside that sphere is the square and a cube, which is the New Jerusalem. Interesting stuff. Go do research on some of this. You'll be blown away by some of the things that are out there. Also from this, Dr. Henry Morse, we get something really interesting. He said, guessing that there have been 100 billion people in the human race, and I'm speculating that he's saying at that time, at the end, that there could have been, that 20% of them will be saved. So that calculates that each person would have a block of earth at about 75 acres, and on each face that would call their own. This is yours, 75 acres. Now, calling on each face, I don't know what he means by that. Or do I have a square, a cube, one cube? Well, I'd say I'll farm this side, I'll farm this side, I'll farm this side, I'll farm this side, I'll farm this side. How many? Well, that's a lot of property if you're looking at a cube mile. It's a lot of room. Jesus promised that you'll give us life in it more abundantly. I talk about that's a lot of abundant life, okay? So next week we're going to look at what makes up the city and how God looks at things that we think are valuable, like gold. You know, in heaven, gold is used as pavement. You heard that story about that old guy? Comes up, he's coming in, and he's got all wheelbarrows and wheelbarrows of gold and these bricks of gold. And he comes up and he says, "So, can I bring these in?" "Well, yeah, what are you going to do with those?" "Well, I gathered all this up while I was on earth." And he goes, "Well, yeah, that's okay, bring them in." And so the angel looks over the other angel. "What's he doing with all the asphalt? Don't need it here. We don't need it here." And for us, if you're concerned about expenses now, don't worry about it. The streets are paved with gold, and guess what? Your driveway is going to be paved with gold. You've got a mansion. You've got it. So all things are going to be, you know, quite different from what we are in this world here. And it's, but we're looking at God's economy. So this morning we're going to look at another aspect of God's economy, and that's how he made all things new for us through the sacrifice of his Son. We're going to look at and see as we take communion together to remember how much it cost. Because in that day when we all stand before him, we'll see what it cost. We'll see what it did. And we want to come and remember that as he instructed us. And so, Ed and Barry, if you guys come on up, we'll go ahead and get ready to pass out the communion. that evening when he was with the disciples. They were doing some strange things at that time, and they were coming back from Galilee, and Jesus would be speaking about his imminent death in the third person, and they really didn't catch it. And as he was there, he would begin to speak about the Son of Man. And he always kept referring to this Son of Man. But we know that he was referring to himself, but he said the Son of Man will be taken by ungodly men, and he will be brought before the elders, and they will be brutally beaten and taken, and then taken out and crucified. And so in that line when Peter would say, "Not so, Lord, not to you." And then Peter would say, "Get behind me, Satan, because you're more mindful of the things of men than you are of the things of God." And so Jesus, as he was there with that night with them, he would take this portion of the Seder, and he would take the bread, and he would break it, and he would give it to them. And as he broke it, he would say to them, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Something's going to change in the next 24 hours. The reality of life is going to change, not only for them, but for the whole world, up to this very point to where we live today. It changed that night where he was with his disciples, because they didn't realize within 24 hours he was going to be up on a cross. They were all going to be running for their lives. One of them has betrayed him. The other one has denied him, and all the rest have scattered. It seemed like the only faithful ones that were there were the women. They came there at the foot of the cross, and they stood there with him. And so, ladies, I applaud your bravery and boldness, especially when it comes to following Jesus. Because sometimes guys just don't do it. But that night, Jesus would take that and break that. And he says, "This is my body, which is broken for you." And as often as you eat it, you do proclaim my death. You're saying, "I'm going to go out and tell people about you. I'm going to tell people that you did die. I'm going to tell people that you did raise. I'm going to tell people, because now this life that's in you is now in me. And we're relating to him, because whatever he's touched, I broke this and I gave it to Barry. I broke this and gave it to Ed. And as they touch that, whatever touches me now is touching them, and that part of me now is part of them." And we're going down to the level of the soul and the spirit. And this is what Jesus was doing with his disciples. He was relating to them in a deeper, deeper manner at that time when they took that portion of the Seder and he broke the bread and he gave it to him. Lord, we lift this up as you were lifted up, and we glorify you. We thank you for all that you've done. But Lord, we remember, we will not forget, Lord, what you did for us on that night when you were betrayed. Lord, you took this and you broke it and you gave it to them. As we do this together tonight, today, we ask that, Lord, you would bless it. Help us to remember and to be the witness that you've called us to be in this world. Thank you, Lord. We ask your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all partake. In the same way that night, we just talked about a new Jerusalem, a new heaven and a new earth. And this is the new covenant. This is a symbol of the new covenant. The old covenant couldn't do what the new covenant did. The old covenant was written in stone. The old covenant was saying, do this or die. Do this or die. Don't do this or die. Either which way, there was no victory. There was no way. There was no way out. And so God knew that. He knew that from the foundations of the world, Christ was slain. God knew when he created Adam and Eve that they were going to go down the path that they went. He knew we would go down the path that we went. He knew that we couldn't do this without him. And so he sent forth his Son into this sinful world to pay for our sins and to do for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. because my blood is tainted. My blood has no power. My blood has no redemptive factor. It would have to be a supreme sacrifice of the supreme. The only one who could do this is God Himself. The only one who could wash away all my sins and give me new life was God Himself. And so He sent His Son in the form of sinful man to pay a debt that we couldn't pay and that He didn't owe. He didn't do anything wrong. He had no sin. And for that breaks my heart, because I did it. My sin. It was my sin. I did it. I'm sorry, Lord. It was me. I did it. Confess your sins before Him and say, it was me, Lord. I'm sorry. I'm the one who put you there. I ask you to forgive me. And this is the new covenant. The old one says, you're guilty, you die. The new covenant says, you believe and you live. Do you believe? This is enough. This is enough. There's more than enough in this by faith for what He did on the cross for us to wash away all. There's enough. Father, we thank You for the new covenant. We thank You that, Lord, the old has become new, Lord, and is now living in You and in us. Lord, we do proclaim Your death, that You did die and that You rose again and that You're coming again. So, Lord, we say thank You. But we, first of all and most of all, we want to bless You, love You, and thank You for forgiving us and washing away all of our sins. And by faith, we take this in remembrance of You, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all partake. And then let's all stand and just bless each other in our benediction. And then we will fellowship. Okay? The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. And I'm just overwhelmed by His love, and I'm overwhelmed that I can have peace. All I have to do is trust Him and look to Him. We sing that song, Trust and Obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Obeying means that I believe and I believe and I obey. If He says this is the way, walk in it. What? Walk in it. Walk in it. Shalom. Bless each other. Let the peace of God rule your hearts. God bless you all. God bless.